Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
So, what do we do now?
We go on. The most important thing is that we stay together. Close our circle to outsiders.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 19, Little Monsters. And speaking of Little Monsters, here's Tara Ariano and Sarah DeButtick.
Ha ha.
Well,
sir, I am not little, and I resemble that remark. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello, Sarah DeBunting. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Again With This, 90210 edition. While we are here up top, I will mention, since it is gift-giving season, you can buy t-shirts inspired by this podcast at glarkware.com, including Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, The Blaze, a lot of parents read it, and of course, Don't Be Such a Squeef. Yes, Dave?
Maybe Ukrainian Christmas? I think maybe the deadlines are going to be passed by the time people hear this.
Maybe for regular shipping, but this is coming out on the 12th. That's almost 2 weeks.
All right, Daddy Warbucks.
That's 10
you heard it here first.
That's 10 business days.
Yeah, okay.
Within America, let's say, probably.
I'm just saying, don't count on it.
Okay.
Perhaps you know or love, as I do, a Capricorn whose birthday is in early January, and that's also an excellent gift for Capricorns in your lives.
And you know what else is a gift-giving opportunity? The Feast of the Epiphany in early January.
That's right.
Yeah.
People are always having epiphanies on this show. Why not? Also, you can purchase an ad on this podcast. $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. Go to previously.tv/ads for more information.
Wait, there's another unit now.
What?
An ad unit.
Go
ahead. $25.
Yes.
And you get one word spoken by yours truly.
That's right. That's right. We will hear that later in this very podcast. So anything else? Oh, review us on iTunes. It helps us, helps other listeners find us and puts us up in the rankings and so forth. Let us proceed, because even though it's almost Christmas and Hanukkah here in the 90210-iverse of season five, it's, oh, wait, it's not Valentine's Day. That's next week. Never mind. It's before Valentine's
Day. It's probably about the Feast of the Epiphany or so.
Yep.
Candlemas, actually, or Groundhog Day, which this episode sort of felt like, especially this first subplot, which Tara delightfully titled Andrea's Boring Love Life. Have no clips. It's that boring.
In our doc, in square brackets, no clips, too boring. But let's talk about it anyway, briefly. Stupid Hannah's still sick as Jesse prepares to go on a trip to interview for law clerk jobs. Andre's all in a tizzy about Hannah's illness and irritated that the pediatrician hasn't returned her call, probably because she called her 700 times. Jesse suggests taking Hannah to the ER, but Andre doesn't want to bring her outside in the cold and then wait hours to see a doctor. And Jesse then suggests calling that med student, and Andrea plays dumb. And before Andrea can answer that suggestion, Jesse's airport shuttle shows up. And the second Jesse is out the door, Andrea calls Peter. And when we next see her, she's having coffee with Peter under the boom mic. She's giddy
and
about
in the same coffee house, I think, that was supposed to be the gay coffee house in the frat gayiso. Like, weren't they both named Equinox?
Maybe. I don't recall. It definitely is like,
I'm not going to go back to look. I just was like, how many? It's the only coffee house in Los Angeles now. At least she's not going to the Peach Pit like a dumbass, but still.
Yeah, seriously. But she is giddy about her own naughtiness, eating cake in a crowded public place. And Peter exposits that she got a babysitter for this assignation, like Jesse. Peter's wife is out of town. Andrea thinks that this all sounds dangerous. Peter jokes that he lives on the edge, but Andrea says she doesn't, or at least not usually. And then Peter leans in for some more serious roll neck sweatered flirting, even as he tells her that they're safe in the coffee shop. But Andrea is already bleary with lust, also bleary her lip liner. And then Peter takes forever to kiss her, but she doesn't stop him. End of storyline. We're about to move on to our C story. But first, we have a message for Christina.
Anne tells us that her friend Christina is turning 40. And when her husband asked her how big she wanted to go to celebrate on a scale of 1 to 10, she said 11.
So with that in mind, we have a list of the top 11 season 5 moments that would have been improved if Brenda had been around.
It's really a miracle that we narrowed it down this far. Seriously. Number one, when Dylan went missing, Brenda would go to Mexico herself to retrieve him and slap the scruff off him. She'd also forget her passport, but still.
Number two, she'd make the best over it faces at Donna's Texas dip.
Number three, she'd have less than no interest in her brother's campaign for student body president and might even go so far as to back his opponent.
Again. Number four, I mean, let's be real. A Brenda who's a college sophomore might get high with Val.
Number five, Brenda would tear so many strips off Kelly for her pay attention to me, no don't nonsense. She embarked upon her quote modeling quote career.
Number six, the Brenda who got arrested for protesting an animal research lab would for sure protest Nando the Dictator well before Brandon figured out that he should.
Number seven, Claire and Brenda would become friends and start jamming Kelly out for being such a basic bitch.
Number eight, Brenda would push Donna out of the way to scream at Felice for trying to buy off Ray.
Number nine, Brenda would probably not be great as the bait in Jonesy's scheme, but it would be worth it to see her scream abuse in Kevin's face.
Number 10, not that we get to see it on the DVDs because of music rights, but she'd do a lot of dancing at the Peach Pit after dark, one of the few times we get to see Shannon Doherty's real smile.
And number 11, four words, Brenda at Dylan's intervention.
From all of us here, and also from Anne,
happy birthday, Christina!
Yeah, happy birthday.
Moving on. To our C story, Ariel returns. Remember, Ariel, you're about to. At the Peach Pit after dark, Claire and Ariel have a terrible outfit summit. You can see that in the visual aids of previously.tv. David rolls up just as Claire is being impressed by Ariel's business card. And based on her expression, it doesn't seem like Ariel knew David was involved with this venture. But Claire immediately guesses from their vibe what the nature of their relationship is or was. Ariel asks about David's own career as a musician, LOL. He says it's on the back burner and asks what brings her there. She says it's Ray. She was hoping for an introduction, and Claire chirps her assent, and then Steve wanders over asking where Claire is taking his little paramour. Isn't Steve not even supposed to be there? I guess he has to get into the episode somehow. But he's annoyed that musicians get all the trim, I'm paraphrasing, and David says it's going to kill Donna too. And then we cut to Ray berating Donna on the phone for having forgotten to bring him a fresh shirt. And she says, a lot more mildly than I would, that getting in a minor car accident wasn't her plan for the night. We'll get to that. And then Claire brings Ariel in and leaves them alone. Ray, clip number two.
I thought you flaked out on me.
Sarah. He's just such a cock to everyone all the time that it's like, it started out annoying and just being about Jamie Walters not really being able to modulate his so-called acting all that much. Then it was like really actively obnoxious. And now it's coming back around to awesome. Like he's just uniformly like obstreperous and combative with everyone always. And I kind of love it because all the people in the show are simps. I don't love it when he does it to Valerie, but she can handle herself. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. I don't disagree. Ariel starts working him and he bores us all by listing his musical influences. She's very into signing him to her label, Firestorm, and invites him to the office to come and meet her boss. Surprise, he's eager to go. And then Donna meets David at the student union snack bar where he breaks the news about Ray meeting Ariel. And we get a flashback of David and Ariel's limo bone sesh. Donna excuses herself, presumably to go bark. Cut to Firestorm Records. Ray walks out of a good meeting. Ariel's boss tells her to make a deal. So she grabs Ray on his way out to tell him how great it went. And Ray has this to say in clip number three.
You never let yourself believe when you're sitting in the back of your truck plucking out a new song that somebody's actually going to hear it, you know?
We're not. Music rights. We haven't heard him play
Thank
yet.
God. Thank the legal gods.
So funny. Anyway, Ray doesn't want to get ahead of himself before there's an actual offer. So Ariel's first offer is to take him shopping for a new pair of boots. He tells her that the boots he's wearing have sentimental value because he bought them with his first construction paycheck. And Ariel says there's nothing wrong with having more than one pair of footwear. Dave. He tries again to decline. She flirtily pushes him and he caves. And so Ariel then takes him to the same Rodeo Drive boutique where Val is shopping, which we will also get to in salacious detail. Ray has questions and Ariel is full of promises in clip number 4.
If I get signed, would I make an album right away?
That's the way record companies work.
My own musicians, my own material?
Yes, whoever you want, whatever you want. Those are nice.
I don't know. I'm not sure they're really my style.
Oh, I think they are. But you know, we can keep looking till we find exactly what you like. Well, this is the last place I'd expect to see you.
Valerie, hey.
Hi.
Yeah, this joint's a little swanky for me. It was Ariel's pick.
Ariel? Hi, I'm Valerie.
Hi, Val.
Well, Ray's gonna have to get used to stores like this. He's gonna have a big career at Firestorm Music.
Firestorm? Never heard of it.
Oh, it's a great label. Ariel's an A&R rep there.
Well, I'm gonna look around a little more.
So are you like two-timing Donna?
No, of course not. Ariel's just a business associate.
Seems pretty chummy for a business associate.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know, Ray. I think she's got an eye for you. But don't we all?
No.
No?
No, we don't.
Yes, Dave?
You know, because I do the podcast stuff and once in a while we need a new, you know, theme or something for a segment, you know, I often go into these sound libraries on the internet. And wow, is that background track replacement ever, like, I could probably find that one, I bet. It is so amazingly generic.
Yep.
It has no soul.
No.
And yeah, it's super lazy. That's I wonder what that was. Is there a list like what was replaced somewhere on the internet?
Oh, I'm probably.
Yeah.
That I don't might know. Be useful. We've never looked. Yeah, yeah, we should. I'll try to remember that for next time. Also, these boots, oh my God, please go to previously.tv to see them because they're fucking snakeskin cowboy boots. They are so ugly and they are really, really, really not Ray. He cannot pull them off at all.
Yeah. And like, why cowboy boots? Like, this whole image of him is like oaky out of water. Like, he's from Reseda,
right,
isn't he?
Yes.
And whatever.
As far as anyway, I recall, like, he's not a country artist either. Like, I know that the styling was sort of back at that time. Like, in the mid-90s, there was more like sort of Western shirts even on non-country people. But whatever. They're ugly. Moving on. After the commercial, Ray is admiring his new ugly boots and marveling they cost a paycheck and a half. Donna is sour about the label, but Ray is happy that Ariel is taking such an interest in him, which finally prompts Donna to tell him that she broke up with David because Ariel came on to him, and then some, I would say, the way that she's currently coming on to Ray. And Ray claims that Ariel's just interested in his music, but that's what she said about David until they totes boned in a limo. Ray says that won't happen with him, but Donna decides to make a big demand anyway in clip number 5.
Look, I want you to return the boots, and I don't want you to see Ariel again.
No, you can't ask me to do that. Look, she buys gifts for all her clients. It's part of her job.
I don't care. I don't want you hanging around with her.
Donna, this is the start of something big for me. Don't you get that?
So you can't do this for me?
This isn't about you. It's about me. And right now, that's my top priority.
Who cares? This is so stupid. Like, whatever.
Just fuck him. Just fuck him. Then you don't have these problems. I mean, then she'd never have a storyline, but
yeah,
whatever.
Moving on. At the Peach Pit After Dark, David and Ray talk Firestorm. David echoes Donna's concerns about Ariel's true motives, and Ray says it's nothing he can't handle. And a bitch fight ensues in clip number 6.
Figured that's what you'd say. I didn't ask for your advice, man.
Look, Ray, you can go back to pushing pumpkins for all I care, all right?
I'm just looking out for Donna.
Hey, no offense, David, but Ariel didn't burn Donna all by herself last summer.
Seriously.
I got some songs to play through.
This week on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, what is that music? That's why I left so much of it in, because what the hell? But also, like, Ray is kind of right. David has no leg to stand on in this advice giving. Like, hey, don't fuck this woman like I did. Okay, dude, whatever.
Yeah, like, now you're looking out for Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shut up, David.
Seriously. So then David comes out to the counter at the regular Peach Pit, not after dark, to report on this spat to Donna. He's not optimistic that he got through to Ray, but Donna is happy that he tried. But apparently it did work, because the next time we see Ray, he's leaving Firestorm with Ariel trailing behind him protesting. Literally anything could have happened in the interim, but we'll never know because of music rights. Ray says he needs to think about the offer, and Ariel basically tells him not to think. Ray is concerned that Ariel's boss, Terry, wants him to give up all his publishing rights, and Ariel says just for the first album, tells him not to go dumb on her. But Ray didn't just get off the turnip truck. He got off the pumpkin truck. He says he should at least get to keep half of his publishing. Ariel claims that a lot of artists get this deal, but Ray says they don't write and perform their own material. Probably some of them do. Anyway, Ariel's response is very professional in clip number 7.
Oh, I don't believe this. No one's ever quibbled about publishing before.
Maybe they didn't know better.
You make it sound like we're trying to cheat you.
Look, Ariel, if you think you can buy me off with a new pair of boots and this second-rate deal, keep thinking. I don't come that cheap.
Ray, Terry really wants this deal. And I'm willing to go all the way here. Whatever it takes.
Yeah, I've heard that about you. No deal.
Yeah, I have to say, the way that this episode consistently casts Ariel as this conniving slut is revolting.
Mm-hmm.
And completely against it. She was not in a relationship. David was.
Yep.
Ditto this. Like, if she wants to try to close deals by fucking the clients, like, it's not a long-term success strategy, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
But just the way they talk about her is vile. And whatever. By that same token, of course people quibble about the publishing rights. That's the only thing that's worth anything. Like, okay, whatever. Shut up, everyone in this storyline.
Yeah, but it also goes back to the narrative of, like, be careful of Belle. She'll steal your boyfriend. Like, she didn't steal anybody's boyfriend. Both those guys were single. No one was exclusive. Who cares? Anyway, then Ariel comes into the Peach Pit looking for Ray. He happens to be there having a tuna melt with Donna. Rut-row, but despite their history, Ariel goes over anyway in clip number 8.
We need to talk.
We don't have anything to talk about.
If you don't mind, I'm trying to have lunch with my boyfriend. Well, your boyfriend made a very foolish, not to mention arrogant, move today. My company offered him a very fair deal.
I'm gonna go get my stuff, all right?
That's enough.
Donna, you have to talk to him. He's making such a stupid mistake. Look, Ray isn't stupid, Ariel. Why should I help you after you stabbed me in the back this summer? Okay, I deserve that.
No, you didn't!
Look, I'm really sorry about what happened with David. But I'm a different person now. I'm sorry, too. But I have no reason to believe you. Donna? You're not gonna lose Ray to me. But you just might lose him to that ego of his.
I mean, that is probably true. But... But he's also not wrong. Like, it does seem like that publishing deal is bad. I don't know. Who cares? None of this goes anywhere. It doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Well, yeah. And, like, stop apologizing for fucking David. You've been punished for that by fucking David.
Oh, my God. Shirtless under the vest. It just came back to me. Anyway, then in the Peach Pit after dark, Donna thanks Ray for not taking Ariel's deal. And Ray tells her that she was right about Ariel, but that's not why he turned it down. It was just a bad deal. Whatever the reason, Donna's glad he did it. Okay, great relationship.
Minogue.
Can we get to comment on this?
Sure.
All right, so that's our new $25 ad point where you send Dave a word and he says it. Oh my God, that's the dumbest thing we've ever done.
It really isn't.
No, it's not, but it's pretty dumb.
It's up there, but it's not quite the dumbest.
I would like to know why that word, like Dave was alive in the 90s. He's heard of her before.
Locomotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the 80s, but yes.
Well, I will say, as an introduction to this ad, I'm happy that I got one that I could get because I think in the future I may not. I understand why that one was thrown at me with all them the Frenchy vowels in there.
Yeah.
But no, I actually knew what that one was. So yay me. Dave one, user zero.
It is funny to try and figure out like which pockets of pop culture have missed Dave. Like, for example, this is totally off topic, but we were watching this week's Billy on the Street and there was a joke involving Priyanka Chopra. And we both laughed because it was funny. And then I asked Dave, like, do you know who that is? He was like, nope. Anyway, moving on. If you are ready, Sarah, or if you had more to say about Dave's pronunciation or Kylie Minogue.
Nope, I'm good.
All right, moving on to our B story. Val, art of the deal. Sorry. So Val brings Dylan back home. He mentions the favor of her having picked him up from the airport, and she has a plate of chocolate dipped strawberries there waiting for him. Very thoughtful. She exposits that Dylan was in Hawaii with Erica and Iris, and the idea was to see if Iris and Erica get along, and they did, so Erica will just be living with her now, apparently. Okay. They did see her again, but I think it's like a while from now before she comes back. We might be dead by then. Pleasantries concluded. Val has a crass financial matter to discuss in clip number 9.
Well, now that everything's fallen into place, don't you think it's payback time?
What's on your mind?
Well, I know how important it was to get Erica back safely.
Right.
And we did recover a payload of money in Mexico.
Spit it out.
Well, three people worked that job. Me, you, and Jones. But only two people got paid.
Okay. I get your point. After all, you did risk your life down there.
Not to mention my virtue.
Right. Okay, I'll cut you in. I guess I should have thought about that before.
Then they make out. Val, you can do better. Please start boning outside the gang. Like, seriously.
Seriously.
Later, Val gets dressed after boning Dylan. He suggests that she go to Fred's for a new winter coat, presumably Fred Siegel, setting her up beautifully to return to her original theme in clip number 10.
But don't you think I need something to buy it with?
Oh, we're back to that topic again.
Do you think maybe you can write me a check before I go?
Sure. You're getting out of bed and I'm writing a check. Out of context, that wouldn't look so good.
Fuck off.
No, the fun was for free. It's the work I want to get paid for.
Well, this that'll buy you the warmest winter coat you've ever seen.
$10,000? Is this like the first installment?
It's a lot of money.
Well, compared to the millions you came away with, it isn't.
So what did you expect?
Well, haven't you ever heard of maybe equal pay for equal work?
I've heard of greed.
Obviously something you know about.
Are you out of your mind?
Why, because I'm standing up for what I have coming to me?
No, because if you want a piece of the action, that's a deal you make before it goes down, not after.
You're the one who assumed that my services were voluntary.
Your services have been paid for. Take it or leave it.
Fine. Thanks for nothing.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, first of all, I feel like there's still going to be time to dig into like the inconsistencies of how much money Dylan actually had, because it was $8 million and then Jonesy took half, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how much he was expecting. Right. But I don't know, like, for her part, she was only there for 2 days. Like, I guess she risked her life in the end, but I don't know, whatever. This is dumb. And it was, I think this is mostly a scene to make her look like a prostitute and for her not to really push back on that, which is gross.
Yeah, and for him to be all lofty about how, like, well, I'm not going to get screwed over again. You should have negotiated that before. Like, yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Just, like, his whole attitude is obnoxious and unnecessary some more.
Yep. Moving on. Jim is toiling at his desk when Dylan shows up in a suit, although without having shaved. And he's actually made an appointment to see him for fucking once. I'm paraphrasing. Jim has heard about Dylan having gotten his money back, though presumably not all the details as to how. Dylan says he knows none of it would have happened if he'd listened to Jim's advice. And Jim is gracious, but Dylan says he won't make that mistake again. He wants Jim to be his business manager, but not like last time. It's not a trust. Just Jim moving the money, keeping the money moving around and earning interest without too much risk. And Jim agrees to think about it. On the way out, Jim asks what Dylan and Val did in Mexico. So I guess the ginger cover story was abandoned at some point. Okay. Dylan says he'll spare Jim the details other than that he paid Val $10,000, which why that is Jim's business, I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe that's in the spirit of being his dad again. Moving on. Speaking of Val's windfall, we cut straight from Jim's office to the Rodeo collection, where Val is buying a head-to-toe black leather coat, vest, leggings, I think. Look, it's very proto-Neo. She looks amazing. She looks so good in this outfit.
The vest. The boobs.
Her boobs. Like my God.
The boobs are in the platonic cave. They are the original boobs.
Yep.
They're so good.
They're amazing. There's both a GIF and a photo of this in the visual aids because we are perverts, apparently. She's going to wear it home. It costs almost $1,000 and Val pays cash. The clerk is mildly grossed out for some reason. Then Brandon comes home to see Dylan at the table for dinner. It sounds like he's been telling Cindy and Jim this true story about what happened in Mexico, and the fact that Val got a $10,000 tip is once again a discussion point and leads to a delicate broaching of related manners in clip 11.
Dylan, we don't mean to pry, but we know that you have spent some time with Valerie.
Yeah, some.
In your opinion, is there any reason that we should be concerned about her?
Let me tell you guys this. If you thought you had your hands full with Brenda, this girl is a much bigger package with a much brighter bow.
I mean...
Fuck you. That's not how you talk about... That's not how you talk about, okay, people that you fucked to their and your parental figures. Like, that whole discussion is so Freudianishly out of line that I kind of feel like barfing right now.
Yeah.
And shut up, it's stick insect. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy's part in it is fine, I guess, although I would have rather her just ask Val directly. But yeah, like, putting it in terms of, like, girls are trouble, like, shut up, Dylan. And then Val is taking her leather vest and a short skirt to Jonesy's room at where else, the Bellage. And while she lets him gaze unimpeded at her ass, she says she thought that they could get to know each other under more relaxing conditions. And Jonesy, surprise, is with it. He suggests that they play charades and mimes the movie title Sleep With Me, an obscure Eric Stoltz, Craig Sheffer movie out of the previous year and best known for a monologue by Quentin Tarantino about how homoerotic Top Gun is. Kind of a reach, but okay. I mean, he's, you know, he mimed Sleep With Me and then tried to cover that it was a movie. Whatever. Val is appalled and declares that she will not sleep with Jonesy, as if sleeping with Steve or Dylan isn't way worse. He wants to know why she's there then. So she tells him she knows that he had another lady lined up to tease like a sleaze and that this other broad would have received a cut of the take. So Val thinks that she is entitled to that money. Dylan didn't agree, but she thinks Jonesy has a sense of honor and he thinks that's hilarious. But she persists in clip number 12.
Jonesy, I did a good job, didn't I?
Darling, you came in like a pro, and you went out like a pro.
Now I just want to get paid like a pro.
Ah. Well, I'll tell you what. I do happen to have a little cash on hand.
Don't believe in banks, huh?
Just offshore ones.
Well, I like what I see.
I'll bet you do. Now, I will give you what you came to get under one condition.
Jonesy, I told you, I'm not going to sleep with you.
No, no, no. Now, listen to me. That's not what I meant.
Okay. What's the condition?
That you work with me sometime again?
That's it? Okay.
And that you'll have at least one drink with me.
Okay.
All right, so he's like, I don't want you to sleep with me. I mean, whatever, like, that's not the condition unless she had agreed. But then she keeps talking, like, does she think that he's like, but you need to blow me? And she's like, eh, maybe. I mean, I kind of respect her if that's it.
She's the one who, like, she comes in real hot, all like, I thought we could get to know each other under more intimate, comfortable, naked, fucky stances. Like, yeah. Okay, then you don't actually get to get offended. Like, you're definitely allowed to be like, that's not what I meant. But like, if that's your pitch, then to be offended when he hears the pitch as what it is kind of bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agree.
I mean, that's not rape cultural of me to say, right? Like,
no.
Just go ask for the money. Like, you're already wearing almost nothing. He gets the hint.
Yes. Also, have sex with him. He's hot. Sorry.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Saying. Anyway, then Val pulls up behind the Peach Pit in a black sports car that she parks across like three spots. I made a GIF. You can see the visual aids. Dylan is fortuitously coming out at just this moment, and they have this conversation in clip 13.
Let me guess. You took the $10,000 and you leased a car?
The money you gave me was peanuts. I own this car.
How'd you manage that?
Well, I found somebody a little bit more honorable than you.
What'd you say to Jones?
Not much. He just kind of smiled and his wallet kind of flew open.
Kind of like a hooker.
I'm not a hooker. And even if I was, you couldn't afford me.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a good line.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know how to feel about this.
Yeah, like realizing that you're better than that guy is, I don't know. Way ahead of ya. Great.
Well, we're almost done. All that's left is the A story. But first, we have a message for Dorinda from Rob Hartman, hero of Game Time game creation on our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great.
To mark the occasion, we have a list. 5 terrible presents Brandon would get you, Dorinda, for your birthday.
Number 1, a bound and signed edition of Task Force Minutes Unabridged. That one is courtesy of your brilliant brother, by the way. That's why he's so good at Game Time.
Number 2, a Rosetta Stone course on how to learn just enough Spanish to be offensive when you speak it.
Number 3, excuse me, a pair of bike shorts and a pair of loose nylon shorts to wear over them, you know, for the gym.
Number 4, a vintage Ford Mustang that will break down after you drive it for 3 minutes.
And number 5, a Minnesota Twins shirt, which he would then tells you he expects to get back.
From all of us here, and Rob.
Happy birthday, Dorinda!
Yeah, happy birthday.
And finally, our A story, Kelly versus externs. So Andrea meets Brandon at the Peach Pit at his request because he needs her to read a letter that he wrote, clip 14.
In defense of Professor Finley?
It's for Friday's Condor.
I don't get it. You have a showdown with this guy last week and now you want to help him get tenure?
Personally, I think the guy's an egomaniac, but he does have a lot of devoted students.
Huh. Well, then I guess it makes good sense to back him, not to mention good politics.
I do have another reason for standing up for him.
A certain blonde psychology student we both know.
Yeah.
Brandon, has she read this?
No. In fact, I haven't even told her I'm doing it yet. We haven't been spending a lot of quality time together lately.
So basically Brandon is supporting something that he doesn't actually believe in, which is typical of his leadership. So that's
yes,
good.
Yes, in order to get his dowdily outfitted bitch girlfriend to open her legs again, he's just going to pretend he believes in the new evolution, which, like, if there's anything good about the new evolution, it's that it separates one from one's Brandons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave.
I just want to let you know that I found a music list.
Oh.
So it looks like there's a guy named Jamie Walters, who I'm going to assume because his name pops up so much and I don't recognize anything.
That is that Ray.
He is the in-house
yeah, music that's guy. That's Ray.
Oh, okay. So for this episode, we have Why by him. Also, I Know the Game by him. But the ones that we're not hearing, I assume, is Every Day of the Week by Jade and My Guy by Mary Wells.
Oh,
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Even that one they couldn't get? That's
even
like
that
a
one
classic.
They get.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, Jade is going to be all over the next episode. So, quote, look forward, end quote, to that one.
About to say, it looks like Jade's people might have slipped Fox some money.
Yep.
Because she's in this a lot.
It's a group.
So I'll bookmark this for further inquiries into the music that we're not hearing.
Dave, you're so smart. Moving on. Then we see what Kelly has been doing while she's not seeing Brandon, other than loving life. A whole squad of Findlay acolytes are working the phones in her living room. Okay, so we see at least four different landline phones in use. Not sure how that works if each of the roomies has her, even if each of the roomies has her own phone, which we've seen no evidence of prior to this point, plus four. There are three of them. Anyway, Donna gets annoyed that she can't use the phone to call Ray at the Peach Pit, but because it's Donna, it's mainly just stuff. She's gotten in a minor car accident. So Kelly has just served up a free phone for her when it rings, and it's Findlay, smug as shit about the mobilization effort on his behalf. Kelly thinks they can win, but he's calling because he has some research he wants to discuss with her the next day, and they make plans for lunch. And the next day, Findlay is feeling himself in the good old student union in clip 15.
The rally tomorrow night is going to be quite a spectacle.
Good luck, Professor Findlay.
Defy extra.
You got it. If only the university were democracy, we'd capture the popular vote by a landslide.
Hello, stranger. We haven't seen you over at the house lately.
Not to mention not returning my phone calls.
Well, I haven't had a chance to check my voicemail. Cindy Walsh, this is Professor Findlay.
Proud mother of Brandon?
As a matter of fact.
Professor, what do I have to do to steal 10 minutes of her time, huh?
Brandon, you know we've been really busy with the tenure fight.
Yeah, I know. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
You were a little frosty with Mr. Walsh, weren't you?
We're having our problems.
Something I can help you with?
Actually, it has to do with you.
Tell me.
I don't want to bore you with the blow-by-blow of my personal life.
Kelly, I'm a psychology professor. This is my bread and butter. Feed me.
Yeah. As you know, Brandon hasn't exactly been on our side in this thing. That's put a little strain on us.
That is a problem. You need all the support you can get right now.
Absolutely. You think my own boyfriend would be a little bit more understanding.
When the pressure's on, people show their stripes.
I guess so.
Kelly's so stupid.
Like, yeah, when the pressure's on, people show their stripes and then get going.
Uh-huh.
To hit a home run, like, do you want to mix any other garbage metaphors in there? Butt cut?
Yeah, from my notes, maybe Findlay doesn't publish much because his writing is full of cliches and he submits it and gets rejected by scholarly journals. Just a thought. Anyway, Kelly then shows up in Brandon's dumb president office with a copy of The Condor, and she wants to know why he didn't tell her about his big letter, and he says he figured she'd read it in the paper like everyone else. She counters that she's not everyone else, she's his girlfriend, and Brandon tells her to say it a little louder, and they have this exchange in clip 16.
Sorry. It's just been an intense time for me.
I understand.
Oh, the tone! God.
Well, and hers, too. It does been an intense time for me.
I know.
You're
like,
a voting adult. Drop it down. Fuck.
Seriously, ugh. Like, we know she's in a cult, but he doesn't yet, so maybe he should quit being a condescending prick, or either don't write open letters in her leader's defense, whatever. Anyway, she explains in clip 17.
Brandon, this means so much.
I mean, now maybe the faculty council will sit up and take notice.
Well, I wouldn't count on it working too much magic, but I am glad you're happy.
With you, I am.
Because you got what you wanted.
Hey, what do you say we ditch the rest of the day? We'll go to the Santa Monica Mountains, have a little picnic, watch the sunset. What do you say?
I can't. I have research to do for Finley.
So blow it off.
He needs me.
I need you.
Was that your motivation for writing this editorial?
No, it wasn't. But like you say, you are my girlfriend. It would be nice to spend a little time with you. Is there something so wrong with that?
No. I gotta go. Have a little courage.
What does that mean?
Also, she's wearing some pink satin thing in her hair. Like, at one point, it is totally mirroring Finley's. Like, it's parted down the middle, and it's making this little butt on either side. Like,
yeah,
Brandon, you can't actually do better, but just dump her anyway. Like, I hate you both.
Yeah. In the peach pit, Dawn is having trouble studying, perhaps because she is in a noisy diner. Claire comes over to pretend to care, and the conversation turns to Kelly's current obsession in clip 18.
You know, I try to tell Kelly about it, and all I get is her Finley psycho babble. Don't play the victim. Move forward with your life. Commit to evolving.
Yeah, she has been speaking a different language lately.
But if it's any help, my dad says Finley's days at CU are numbered.
Really?
What about the appeal?
I don't know. Apparently he doesn't have much support from his colleagues.
Huh. Well, I hate to say it, but sort of glad.
I mean, we all wish that were true, alas. The chancellor doesn't actually have the inside track, it turns out. Moving on, Finley tries to buck up a gathering of his followers, at the back of which is Brandon. Finley spots him and thanks him for the editorial. Brandon's got flowers for Kelly, and Finley directs him into his office where she's working in a shiny pink satin blouse. I 100% had, I regret to say.
Oh, God, me too. You can see it. Me too. Mine was silver, but yeah, totally had it. It was from Express.
Oh, of course. So he wishes her luck at, you can see the blouse in the visual aids, by the way. He wishes her luck at this appeal or whatever, and says that he has been selfish lately. He's sorry. It's just because he loves her. And she says she knows and thanks him, notably not saying that she loves him. And then they kiss, at which point, please go to the visual aids because I made a gif of this. Finley then rolls in looking appalled. And then that's the end of the scene. Like, his face is so disgusted. It's really weird. Anyway, I like to think it was just the actor being like, oh, God, whoops. And then didn't have a better shot. So they had
is
to
that,
use it.
Is that where I cut the gif of him doing the
no,
drama?
That's the next episode. That's episode 20.
That's so good.
Yet to come.
Doom, doom.
I know. So then Brandon is with Kelly and the rest of the Finley heads waiting for him to come out of his appeal meeting. Some other bald nerd comes out first and shuffles off without saying anything about what happened. And as more board members or whatever file out, no one will answer the crowd's questions about the ruling. Kelly thinks it doesn't look good. And sure enough, when Finley comes out last, it is not. And we hear that in clip 19.
Look at you all out here for me still. My constant soldiers. Unfortunately, this is one battle that we did not win. Oh. You all fought the good fight, and I'm grateful to you. And just because we lost here doesn't mean this is over. I am a teacher, and if you all want to be my students, then that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Right.
I may not be welcome at this university, but I can give my lectures under a tree or from a park bench or in my own living room if I have to.
Be there.
Be there. Be there. Shut up, that sucks.
Be assured, the new evolution will go on.
It will, but I'm not applauding.
I'm applauding. This is possibly my favorite storyline in 90210 history.
Okay.
It's so, like, they took such care with the cult speak.
They did. That's
true. I love
it. They
did
do that well. Agree. So Kelly says she has to go to him, and Brandon tells her to go, and Finley whispers at her that he needs to get out of there, and then he just does, and she follows, and I don't get it, but Brandon is slighted, so I don't have a problem with it. In some other hallway, Kelly asks what happened, and Finley says they don't like him or the fact that he's popular with students, and he calls it the nature of the beast, which Kelly corrects him as the unevolved beast. So they end up in his office, where he says they aren't going to implode because of a bunch of externs. Kelly says he's so inspiring. He says she is too, and at least something good came out of this, which I guess is that they met each other. Now he says they have to stay together and close the circle to outsiders, and we arrive at our final clip.
How can I help?
You've been indispensable to me, Kelly, but now you face a difficult test. A test to see how committed you really are to this fight.
Oh, you know I'm committed. 100%.
It's about Brandon.
What about Brandon?
He doesn't share your passion, Kelly. He's been projecting negative energy about the new evolution right from the start.
Yeah, I guess he hasn't exactly been won over.
But that's not good for you. It's no good for any of us. I need you to do something that will keep our family as tight-knit as it needs to be.
I'll do anything.
I need you to break it off with Brandon. Would you do that for me?
Will she? Question mark. That's the end. Oh boy.
Yay!
So let us wrap up with our episode MVP. Val. Or more specifically, absolutely Val's boobs.
Val. Yep. Bosses get paid.
Word. Least valuable player. Kelly. Ugh.
Dylan.
Yeah. Also fair. They both are Phoebes. But though, speaking of Dylan, let us end on the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
It's been like a week and a half since we recorded.
Well.
Oh. It sucks.
Don't be such a squeak.
Hey, Dad.
Dad. Five ways from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Well, it's bad to basically call Val a prostitute twice.
Those sheets. What the fuck with those sheets? They're bad. They're dangerous to look at, and they're making me very mad.
Yep, agree. You see those in the visual aids. You really hate those sheets. They are so ugly.
They're horrible. They it's are. Like Fido Dido sheets. They and also, I can't. They're so horrible.
Yeah, they're like not even made. Pottery Barn teen sheets. They're like Ross teen sheets. Okay, yes, Dave.
I have one.
Yes?
It's dangerous when you write a check not to also register it in your ledger so that you know what your current balance is. You just wrote the check and ripped it off and gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So he might overdraw. Like he didn't account for that $10,000. He doesn't know his true budget. How long has he been doing that? What's in his bank account? He don't know. He could accrue, penalties and
Minogues.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very dangerous, guys.
It's bad to wear a suit and not shave. Sorry, I know it's common in our times, but in the '90s, it just looked stupid. Because I mean, it was all stupid. But that's one of mine. So that's
and
up to four.
It's bad to go back to gym and have him be your business manager. Just call someone a Schwab and have them put you in T-bills. It's really not that hard.
Well,
they advertise on TV all the time. Pick an actor representative you like. Templeton, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, that makes five.
Next time on Again With This, Valerie moves into the Best Western Amanda Woodward and onto Ray Pruitt's 1T, while Brandon and Dylan become unlikely co-negators. Our visual aids are your eyeballs' worst limiters, and you can find those visual aids for every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv or at AWT90210. That's Again With This 90210. I'm egomaniac Sarah D. Bunting. I'm here with my co-host, top priority Tara Ariano, She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is David T. Cole, a much brighter beau. He's on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.